Hello, today is Thursday, December 6, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. Several weeks ago, we recorded a podcast about the impending workforce reduction at Verizon. And based on the number of you that listen to the podcast, it appears that that's something that you care about. Well, on the heels of that announcement, Verizon announced that they will be reorganizing their business units. So on today's podcast, we are going to discuss what this reorganization might mean for you. I'm joined by LB3's Andrew Brown and Ben Fox from TC2. Okay, guys, thanks for joining me. Ben, so let me start with you. What do you think? Is all this change at Verizon good, bad, or does it just not really matter for the enterprise?
Let's start with what Verizon's doing. So Verizon, they're going to reorg into three business groups from January 1st. One, the Verizon Consumer Group, one, the Verizon Business Group, and the third one, the Verizon Media Group. And of course, the most important one for our clients is the Verizon Business Group. And it seems to be the most important outcome for our clients is that wireless and wireline enterprise services will now all be under that business group, all be under the same leadership structure. And really, ever since Verizon bought out Vodafone's stake of Verizon Wireless, we've been waiting for more joined up Verizon, but we really haven't seen it. The wireline and the wireless contracts, the account teams, the deals and the relationships are all completely separate, completely autonomous. So perhaps this reorg will change that. So one potentially ominous fact is that the new leader of Verizon Business Group is a wireless exec, Tammy Irwin, who was the previous head of wireless operations. And what we've seen in the past at Verizon is when wireless execs get involved with wireline services, they've been rather taken aback by the lower margins and the more favorable contract terms compared to wireless deals. And that hasn't really ended up being a good thing for customers.
So let me point out that, you know, we do a lot of work with our clients outside of the U.S., and one of the values of doing deals with certain service providers is their ability to combine wireline and wireless, and then they operate under one cohesive contract umbrella. So, for example, it's pretty common for an enterprise to buy all their wireless and wireline services from Telstra in Australia or Singtel in Singapore, and then they have all of that governed by one contract.
Yeah, maybe we'll see that from Verizon here because, to put it bluntly, they can only improve on their integration of wireline and wireless deals. It was like Ben said earlier, those have been two separate animals because they've been two separate companies for so long. And historically, AT&T has done a much better job of leveraging wireless and wireline services together and integrating those terms. And sometimes that works pretty well, depending on how hard customers work at integrating the services. But sometimes it doesn't work out so well because there are big differences between those types of agreements in the U.S.
So, yeah, I mean, you're the attorney, Andrew, so you know that it's a completely different commercial structure for those deals, and that can be a challenge, right? Wireless services, they tend to not have that overarching commitment structure that you see in a wireline deal. Early termination fees, those aren't going away anytime soon. In fact, they're never going away, and they sort of impose this other overarching commitment. And then clearly with wireless, it's all about coverage, and the geographic coverage for wireless, it's just completely different.
So I don't mean to be the complete skeptic of the team here, but I think we always do a lot of reading between the lines of these announcements, as do all the other industry types like us. I think the truth of the matter is we've seen announcements like this in the past from Verizon where they say the wireless and wireline groups are going to work much more closely together. And we have, as I said at the start, we haven't really seen that change. So it could be that this reorg doesn't change things that much at all, certainly in the short term. Well, that's right. I hope it does. Ultimately, it's all going to depend on what Verizon and what Verizon Wireless wants to do together. Time will tell, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Ben's cynicism comes from having lived through a lot of these before where we see a big announcement and we don't see a big change, because the reality is that a lot of the vendor reorgs, even though they're promoted as somehow being focused on customers or delivering better services to customers, they're usually just about some sort of rationalization of financial issues on the vendor side, cost-cutting measures or whatever it is. And one key point I think here is that this reorg, it does rationalize a bunch of increasingly disparate business lines that Verizon has recently started to enter. So in theory, it'll be a net positive that there is a tower that's actually focused on business customers. But the big question is whether the business group that they're developing will actually be a focus of the company. or whether it's just some dumping ground for a business line that they don't see as having a great future. And we've seen a lot of evidence of that with Verizon's approach to business customers recently. They've been eliminating account support that is really important to business customers in favor of more consumer-focused automated functions. You know, we see that with their much-touted but super underwhelming Verizon Rapid Delivery platform. And we also see it in that they take these really dumb positions, such as really being difficult about including rate reviews, which was a business staple for many years now in enterprise agreements. They're demanding rights to new business without having to bid competitively for the new services, which is just silly in the enterprise world. And a lot of times they're just walking away from business that they don't seem that interested in getting because they can't get these ridiculous terms. So all of that suggests they may not really be all that focused on business customers going forward, and that is something we really want to see play out.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you as well, Ben. You know, as I mentioned, enterprises, you can expect to see a lot of changes at Verizon in the new year, and we'll make it a point to keep a close eye on those changes. And if you would like to discuss these changes at Verizon or just the changing supplier landscape in general, or if you have other ICT lifecycle needs, you can contact Ben, Andrew, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues by giving us a call or sending us an email. You can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.